I'm Dr. Mark McDonald. I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist in Los Angeles, California, and I work with children and adult patients both. I spoke earlier today about fear and trauma, and how it has incapacitated our entire society to varying degrees, and individuals to an enormous degree, making them actually nuts, psychotic, crazy, aggressive out on the streets, as well as very, very compliant. People with great character have really become useless. Useless husbands, useless wives, useless parents, almost abusive in many cases, unknowingly really. And it's very sad, it's a tragedy. But what do we do about it? That's a really, really big question and a very important one. I think that right now we have two different groups of people. We have the people who are traumatized, fearful, compliant, who are creating problems for us. And then we have another group of people who are trying to solve it. We have essentially created a split society in the last year and a half, a very, very split society. And I mean that in a psychological sense, not just in the sense of politics and points of view and hobbies and East Coast, West Coast, Midwest. I mean truly a psychological split. On the one hand, we have a group of people who are aligned psychologically with narcissism and a great urge and desire to control. What I mean by that is we have people who are so highly preoccupied with themselves, their own self-worth, their own self-importance, and concurrently this desire to tell other people what to do, that they're running around self-policing. Some examples that were given just recently today were flight attendants. I don't believe that all flight attendants are on board with being mass police, but I know some are. I know that because I was personally banned for life on Delta Airlines last year. I received the letter, which I still have in my email, from one of the executive officers at Delta. How did that happen? I was on a flight to Molina, Iowa. No one even knows where Molina, Iowa is. The famous Quad Cities Airport of Molina, Iowa, was a 45-minute flight connecting from Atlanta. And on that flight, I was drinking a bottle of water. Unbeknownst to me, one of the flight attendants was timing me with a stopwatch. After a few minutes, he came up to me and he said, "You've been drinking that water for 6 minutes." I said, "And?" He said, "You're violating the rules." I said, "What rule am I violating? Is there a time limit on how long you can drink water?" He didn't like that. He didn't like that at all. He went back huffing and puffing and got this lacquered card, laminated card, that said final warning, and he came back and he gave it to me. And he said, "Just to let you know, this isn't your final warning. I'm actually going to already submit a write-up to the station attendant when we get to the gate, and I'm going to make sure you never fly our airline again." And I said, "Why are you giving me a final warning then?" And he said, "I need that card back." And I said, "I want to keep it as a souvenir." "No, you can't." This really happened. I'm not making this up. This was over a year ago. And I said, "Wow, you really, really enjoy this, don't you?" He kind of grinned and put his smile back down again. And he admitted to me that he was a former police officer. And I said, "So you went from being a peace officer to being mass police." He didn't like that either. And I know we've all experienced this. We've all heard stories about this, about these policers, whether they're flight attendants, whether they're grocers, whether they're men at the door. Now, some of them obviously are forced to do this because it's their job. I'm not including those, but we all know we can tell when somebody really, really likes doing it. And when the person actually says, "Look, apologetically, I'm really sorry about this. I have to tell you to put your mask on, but I'll look the other way once you get inside." Very different. We can feel that energy versus the person that says, "Oh, you're not coming in here without a mask on." We know that. We've all had that experience. So those are the narcissists. Those are the ones that want to control our lives. And they're, unfortunately, not just around us self-policing. They're also in public office. Most prominently, those who are not elected, the bureaucrats. They're the worst. They're the worst because they're not accountable to the voters. They're also largely not that bright, not that hardworking, and not that well-educated, largely. And they're also very, very, very eager to finally be able to lord over others the power that they never had in their lowly bureaucratic life. And that's what they're doing now, all over the country. On the other side of things, the people who are not in that camp, I would say or describe as those who want to think for themselves and want to be left alone. They don't want to control the lives of other people, and they also don't really think that highly of themselves. They don't think that they're special. They don't think that they have the right to dictate the lives and actions and words and behaviors of other people. They just want to live their lives with their families and go about their business. As one of the staff said in this facility earlier today to me when I spoke with him on my morning walk, he said, "I just want to live my life. Just let me work. Just let me take care of my family. That's all I want." He's an immigrant from another country, and he suffered a lot of natural disasters. He said, "Wow, I've been through so much. When we have a natural disaster in my country, I've been through four of them. We don't go and sit indoors for 18 months. We go out and work during the disaster because that's the only option we have." And he said, "Some of us don't make it, but we accept that because we're not here to live in safety. We're here to live a full life," as I said earlier. So given that we have a schism, we have two separate societies, and I really believe they are separate psychological societies. They're completely different, and you can feel it when you're in a group. You feel the difference. You feel whether the people you're talking to are thinking, whether they're observing others, whether they care about other people, or whether they're only caring about themselves and they're just looking for things to say and tell you what to do about. You can feel it very quickly. I do believe that on an individual level, the people who are suffering right now, the people who are afraid, the people who want to control others, it is up to them as individuals to find their way through it, to find truth, and to find courage. I do believe that that is incumbent on them. It's not the obligation of society to fix them. It's their obligation. But what about the other people? What about the people who are trying to just live their lives amongst all of it? Like in Los Angeles, I'd say 80% of the people in LA are narcissists who want to control other people. About 80%. What about the other 20%? What do they do? What do you do about it? Until they come around, if ever. Well, on a larger societal level, what I think needs to happen is I think we need to actually build institutions and structures that will support the individuals who are in the 20%. Starting with medicine. We spoke about and discussed earlier the importance of the individual physicians, individual practices, independent pharmacies. Right now, there are several, three major institutions, hospital institutions in Los Angeles, all of which are run by corporate interests, all of which have top-down management. They're almost like little dictatorships, mandating their employees and staff to get vaccinations. I had a friend who was on a Zoom call with one of the chief medical officer of one of these big three in LA. And she revealed her position in the Zoom call with this nasty, condescending, narcissistic, ignoramus comment within the entire Zoom call of all of the chief executive officers and all of the directors of all of the different departments, medical departments in the hospital, saying, "I just don't understand." So that, "I don't understand that kind of attitude. I don't understand why so many people don't want to get this vaccine. I mean, what's wrong with them?" That was her tone. That was the way she spoke. And she's a physician. She's a leading physician in the hospital. Now that filters down, and everybody in the hospital then realizes what the correct position is. Even if they don't want to get a vaccine, they don't want their patients to get it, they don't want to get it, but they have to. Otherwise, their job is at risk. This is true all over Los Angeles. Here in Texas, 126, 128 physicians recently fired because they refused to take a vaccine. And their lawsuit was dismissed. They're now appealing it. We need independent doctors. We need independent pharmacists. We need independent medical practices. We cannot right now continue to coexist with the institutions that we have because they're corrupt. And we need to build new ones. We need to build new institutions, new medical institutions specifically, that are run by people who believe and trust in truth and honesty and debate, and are not interested in only their own profit margins. It has to happen. We also need open source medical journals. The medical journal system is completely corrupt. All the way back to, was it April, May of last year with The Lancet? That was the big, big blow up for me when I realized, after it was retracted a few weeks later, that that journal had essentially set up the case that is still being made 14 months later, still being made falsely, that hydroxychloroquine kills people and that it's ineffective. That article was bogus. It was completely based on false data that was collected by a company that was run by a French porn actress. I mean, it sounds like a joke, but this is actually what happened. And then multiple articles in the future over the next 12 months did virtually the same thing. And shut down debate, shut down any possibility that we could get actual outpatient treatment, because it just kept coming back to that same article as a fact check, dismiss misinformation on all of the tech companies and social media. So we need a new journal system, not one that's just everything goes. It needs to be peer reviewed, but it can't be controlled by one interest, and that interest being corrupted by being in concert and party with others that don't have the interests of truth at hand. We also need a new financial structure. We've had banks and insurance companies revoking bank accounts and contracts for life insurance for people who hold opinions that are not in the majority. I've never seen this before in my lifetime. But if you can't bank, if you can't send money unless you agree with what is considered correct, then you can't exchange goods and services. Fortunately, we have a whole crop of growing cryptocurrencies that are taking hold, some of which may actually substitute for currency very, very soon. And I hope that that continues to grow, because a lot of those currencies are completely insulated from any external third-party government intrusion. Media, my goodness. We could talk for days about that. The media is completely corrupt. It's managed by a small number of people, individuals who are the height of narcissism and desire to control other people's thoughts and opinions, and are actually working now in concert with the government itself, acting as agents, actual agents of censorship. We just heard last week in the presidential administration. Today, we're proud to say that we are actively working with Facebook to eliminate misinformation from the public domain. That was the press secretary of the current president, admitted that the federal government is working in concert with private companies that have a monopoly over all information that transfers through the internet to essentially eliminate anything that differs with the opinion of the current political administration. That was unheard of until last year. Unheard of. We cannot have a debate, we can't even have communication if we don't have an independent source of transmission of information. That has to happen. Last year, the only app that was widely available, in fact, the most downloaded app at the time, that was offering non-consensus-based opinions about what was happening in medicine, politics, and culture, Parler, was completely erased by the big three tech companies because it was becoming so popular and it was becoming a threat. Gone. Never came back. It sort of did, then it went away. It's gone. We don't have anything like that now. But there are some that are growing in popularity and they might supplant it. So we need a new media system specifically to help transmit information. Even email systems and servers are controlled primarily by Amazon Server Farm. And Amazon Server Farm can take you down overnight, and then you don't have a website anymore. You don't have an email system. That has to change. Schooling, education, so important. Right now, our school system, both public and private, K through 12 and beyond into university, is really nothing more than an indoctrination system. That really is all it is in most cases. Unless you have the option to exit that system, your own children will likely suffer irreparable harm by staying in it. And if you don't have two parents at home working really hard to try to stem the flow of propaganda, your child will come out on the other end completely brainwashed. We need, at the very least, we need school choice. That's the beginning. We need to be able to have parents who don't have the money to send their kids to private schools. If you have a private school in your area that hasn't been corrupted, and in LA there aren't any, I can say that, to go to a non-public school or a charter school where you actually have local sourced teachers who believe in teaching honestly and truthfully and offering differing opinions and allowing for debate and thought. Very, very little of that in most large cities in the US. We have to have that too. Universities, I don't know if universities can be reformed. I think they may be a lost cause at this point. The only departments that are left in universities that are not thoroughly corrupted are the STEM, science, technology, engineering, math. That's it. There aren't any others. They've all given in. And pretty soon, we're going to lose those too. We already have federal policy in place that mandates the hiring of professors and the admittance of students based on color and not on test scores in those science and technology fields. I think that as individuals, we will have to accept some sacrifices as we pool our resources and form groups that will then grow into institutions that will take over from the ones that are falling into the sea right now through corruption. But there will be a requirement for some loss, and I don't mean just losing money, I don't just mean losing the favor of your boss. What I mean is you're going to have to also accept that you may not feel accepted and approved and loved by the majority anymore. But you have to ask yourself this question: do you want to be in the majority and liked, or do you want to be right? And you may not be able to have both anymore, unfortunately. It may not be possible. There's a group, several groups actually, that have started to sprout up in Los Angeles, and I joined one of them recently, who meet outdoors in the park, all different ages, walks of life, professions, all of whom, all the members, have agreed to meet to discuss the problems that we're discussing today and to discuss it in a fair, truthful, open manner. Not necessarily to reach agreement, but to offer each other support and to find ideas on how each of those individuals can excel. I think we need more groups like that. And I think those are the groups like AFLDS that started out as a small group and now is a giant organization that can help to move the ball forward. Because individuals who are isolated can certainly express acts of courage, and those are wonderful and can often achieve great media attention and influence. But the other side, the side of the narcissists, those that want to control, they are very, very well organized and they are very well funded. And they will stop at nothing because all they care about is themselves. So we need to be equally powerful, equally strong, equally organized, and also equally willing to lose something. And often the biggest thing that you lose isn't your money or even your job, it's your comfort, it's your feeling of being accepted and liked. Children that I work with, adolescents, once they reach a certain age, probably about 8 or 9 up to maybe 17 or 18, they are more influenced by their peers and whether their peers accept and like them than they are by anyone else in their life, including their own parents. And parents in the room probably attest to this. So that urge to be accepted is so amazingly powerful. And the side of control has used that to their advantage to coerce children into getting vaccinated. I don't know a single child in my practice who has come to me and said, I really feel like I'm going to be a lot stronger and safer if I get this vaccination because it's medically just great for me. Every single one has said the same thing. I won't be able to get my job at the camp this summer. I won't be able to play with my friends if I don't get this vaccination. Or I just don't think I'm going to be liked anymore if I'm the only one that doesn't get this shot. That's the definition of coercion. That is not consent. That is coercion. We as adults have to accept that we also feel similar pressures in our lives. Maybe not to that degree, but we do feel them. And we have to acknowledge that if we're going to stand up to lies and propaganda and pressure and coercion through truth and courage, we may be ostracized. We may lose friends. We may not be liked. We may be criticized. And that can really hurt. But the alternative is worse. The alternative is just letting things go bit by bit until there's nothing left at the end. I keep getting reminded of that famous poem that was written by the German who left the camps after World War II. It said, first they came for this person, first they came for that person. And each time I said nothing, I said nothing, I said nothing, because I wasn't gay, I wasn't homosexual, I wasn't a gypsy, I wasn't anti-government. And then finally they came for me, and I looked around, and there was no one there, because they had taken everyone else already. That's kind of what we're up against, really. We really have to stand up and speak out and protect the other people, even if it doesn't help us, even if it hurts us somewhat, and start to form larger and larger groups to push back against the narcissists who want to control us, to stand firm and strong. And I think that if we can do that, and we can allow for some risk and loss, I think we can win this battle, or I should say the war. We may lose some of the battles. I hope that we can be prepared to do that, because the alternative is pretty dark. Thank you.